Amen. Our primary text tonight is Leviticus chapter 25 as we look at the Jubilee. Some people make a lot out of numbers in the Bible. The number 2, they say, represents testimony because Jesus sent his disciples out 2 by 2. Number 3, representing deity, that's understandable. Number 4, they say, represents the earth because the earth has 4 corners. Okay. Number 6 is the number of man because of 666. Well, that's stated. Number 7 is the number of completeness. Everything in sevens points to God. Number 12 represents God's people. There are 12 tribes of Israel and 12 apostles. 7, of course, is a big number in the Bible. The 7th day is the Sabbath day. The 7th month is the month in which the Day of Atonement takes place. The 7th year is the sabbatical year. So there are things that relate perhaps to those things. And then there's the number 50. Of course, there were the 50 days of Pentecost. And now we come to the 50th year, the year of Jubilee. I didn't bother to read the verses. You have the references, I believe, in your notes to all of those things. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 3 through 5. The chapter starts out talking about the sabbatical year. And he says in verse 3, 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And so there's no sowing, no pruning, no reaping, and no gathering. No agriculture, as would be usual. Verse 20 of chapter 25, and if ye shall say the 7th year, what shall we eat? The 7th year, behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Well, verse 21, then I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. Why is that? Because, verse 22, in the 8th year ye shall sow. Well, if you are not sowing anything in the 7th year, what are you going to eat in the 8th year? So what God provides in the 6th year has to last for the 6th year, the 7th year, and the 8th year, so that finally then, in verse 22, ye eat yet of old fruit until the 9th year, until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. And so when the fruit of the 8th year will provide for the 9th year. So you really have to trust the Lord for his provision in the 6th year. Also, you have to be prudent and save up. Well, it says, oh, there you go. 6th year, you sow. 7th year, you rest. 8th year, you sow again. And then it tells us in, back up to verse 6, The Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee. For the cattle, for the beasts that are in the land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. In other words, that which the land bore of itself was to be had in common by all of the people. Whatever grows of itself without being planted, apart from the vineyards and things, you weren't supposed to pick the grapes and that kind of thing. But if there were other things that might grow, just grow of itself, if some of the wheat had not been completely gleaned, and wheat would just happen to grow from seeds that fell upon the ground, you could gather that. But no one who owned the land could gather it and profit from it. It was to be had in common by all of the people. It was a test to see how much the people really trusted and depended upon God. Chapter 25, verse 18. Verse 18, "Wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety. And the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the eighth year and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year. Until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store." So how much can you trust God? Can you trust God to provide for 3 years in the sixth year? So what was required to stop farming for a whole year? Think about that. Who wouldn't love to have a year off every seventh year? In the sixth year, you have to be prudent and save for the next 2 years. In the seventh year, you have to have faith to wait. Waiting is a very important element of faith. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Psalm 37 and verse 7. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way." Verse 9. "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Verse 34, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land." And then Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5 in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5. "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Do you believe the rapture is going to happen? When is it going to happen? Well, we don't know, so what do? We wait. Do you wish the rapture would happen today? The older you get, the more you wish it would. Trust me. That would solve so many things, wouldn't it? But waiting is a very important element of faith. So that's all about the sabbatical year. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 25. And talk about the year of Jubilee. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 4 and 5 tell us that in the sabbatical year, there's no more sowing, no more pruning, no more reaping, and no more gathering. Well, apparently in the year of Jubilee, it's the same. Verse 11. A Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed, for it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. That is what you've saved up from before. The Jubilee started with the sound of a trumpet. Well, let me back up just for a moment. There were to be 7 sabbatical years over a period of 49 years. And then comes the year of Jubilee, which is the 50th year. Interestingly, apparently there were 2 years in a row that they were not to farm, which means the 48th year needed to provide for 4 years, because you can't sow in the 49th year, that's a sabbatical year. You can't sow in the 50th year, that's Jubilee. So in the 51st year, you have to sow for the 52nd year. So the 48th year has to provide for the 48th year, the 49th year, the 50th year, and the 51st year. How much faith would that require of the people? It started with the sound of a trumpet. Leviticus 25, verse 8, thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Verse 9, then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th day. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. So the year of Jubilee begins on the Day of Atonement. It is the 50th year. Maybe that's where celebrating the 50th wedding anniversary came from. I don't know. Could be. Leviticus 25, verse 10, ye shall hallow the 50th year. Verse 11, a Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Verse 12, for it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. Wow. The year of Jubilee was a proclamation of liberty. Let's see, I think I'm a little behind there. The year of Jubilee was a proclamation of liberty. Verse 10, you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants. It was a little bit different than the sabbatical year in that the sabbatical year gave rest to the land. But in the year of Jubilee, the land was restored to its rightful owner. Verse 10, ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession. And ye shall return every man unto his family. In the year of this Jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. Verse 13. So during those 50 years, either the property was sold or a family member was sold due to poverty. But in the year of Jubilee, all of those transactions were canceled. There were rules for setting the price, the value of the land. Verse 14, and if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. So there were regulations so that you could not take advantage of a person's poverty. The value of the property was determined by how many years it had been since the last Jubilee or how many years there were until the next Jubilee. Verse 15, according to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years thou shalt increase the price thereof. And according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of years of the fruits doth he sell unto thee. There was to be a fair price paid. No one was to take advantage of another regarding the property value. Verse 17, ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but shall fear the Lord thy God, for I am the Lord thy God. So, there were limitations to how much a person could charge or be required to pay because every transaction was to include a clause for redemption. Relatives were given the privilege of redeeming the property for someone. So if you had a mortgage on your property, but your brother has enough money to pay off the mortgage, your brother is given the privilege to do so. Verse 25. If thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. Or if the man who mortgaged his property comes into some money and is able to pay off the mortgage, he is allowed to do so. Verse 26. And if the man have none to redeem it and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it. If, for instance, one sold a field to another for 10 years, you couldn't sell it permanently because of the year of Jubilee. You had limitations. You knew on the year of Jubilee, for no redemption price at all, the land's going back to the original owner. So let's say someone sold, it's 10 years before the next year of Jubilee. It's 10 years. And you have $10,000 that you borrowed on your property for those 10 years. The redemption price decreased year by year according to the number of years that were left. So that if there are 5 years left and you come into $5,000, you can redeem your land at that point. The only catch is that you have to then pay or reimburse the man to whom you had sold the property for those 10 years. You have to reimburse him for the loss of revenue he would have earned from the land over the last 5 years. I hope that makes sense. Otherwise, all mortgages were canceled in the year of Jubilee. So you understand why the mortgage decreases over the years. If it's zero in the year of Jubilee, and it's $10,000 10 years before, then it's $9,000, then it's $8,000, then it's $7,000. It diminishes that way. That's the way it worked. But in the meantime, the person who is holding the mortgage on the land gets to use the land and profit off of the land. Presumably, the rules for the sabbatical year were the same for the year of Jubilee, verses 20 through 22. There was to be no sowing, no pruning, no planting, no harvesting. And the land was never to be sold permanently. Verse 23, the land shall not be sold forever. When the land was set up, when Israel entered into the promised land, each tribe was given a section of the promised land, and each family within each tribe was given a section within their tribal land. And that section that was given to each family was to stay with that family forever. They could mortgage it, but it could not be sold permanently, so that in the year of Jubilee, it would go automatically back to the original family. That's the way God intended for it to be. And the reason, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, God says. If the land was sold, the property was sold, every transaction was required to include a provision for redemption, verse 24 of Leviticus 25. In all the land of your possession, ye shall grant a redemption for the land. There had to be a right to redeem the land. There was an exception for houses inside of city walls. The right of redemption provision in the case of houses inside of city walls only lasted for 1 year. This was different than farmland, rural property. So it says in verse 29, and if a man sell a dwelling house in the walled city, then he may redeem it within a whole year after it is sold, within a full year may he redeem it. If the house is not redeemed, however, within 1 year, the sale becomes permanent. Verse 30. And if it be not redeemed within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the walled city shall be established forever to him that bought it throughout his generations. Because the cities were places where people of all different families of the tribe lived, and even some people from other tribes would come to those cities and live. For example, Joseph lived in Nazareth, but he was not of that tribe. He was of the tribe of Judah from Bethlehem. And so he could buy a house in Nazareth, and he could own it permanently if it wasn't redeemed within 1 year of the time that he buys it. And not even the year of Jubilee will restore the houses inside walls city. Notice at the very end of verse 30, it shall not go out in the Jubilee. A house in unwalled villages and Levitical property could not be sold permanently. Houses in unwalled villages is different than houses in walled villages. Houses in unwalled villages are counted the same as country farmhouses. They can either be redeemed or returned in the year of Jubilee. Verse 31. But the houses of the villages which have no wall round about them shall be counted as the fields of the country. they may be redeemed, and they shall go out in the Jubilee. There's no limitation to when properties of the Levites can be redeemed. Verse 32, notwithstanding the cities of the Levites and the houses of the cities of their possession, may the Levites redeem at any time. So Levites owned houses in cities. Those houses, even if they were in walled cities, could not be sold permanently. Mortgaged Levitical houses will be returned in the year of Jubilee, verse 33. And if a man purchased of the Levites, then the house was sold, and the city was of his possession, shall go out in the year of Jubilee. And then, one more thing regard the Levites. They could not mortgage or sell any of their fields. Verse 34, but the field of the suburbs of their cities may not be sold at all because it is their perpetual possession. It was what the Levites needed in order to maintain their households, feed their families, and survive, because the Levites had a special ministry which was different than the other tribal people. The year of Jubilee illustrated the proclamation of liberty to be made by the Messiah. Would you go to Isaiah chapter 61? Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, does that sound familiar at all? Go to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what Jesus read on the Sabbath day in the synagogue in Nazareth and declared himself to be the Messiah. The year of Jubilee was to be an illustration to the people of the liberty that the Messiah would provide when he came and finished the work of redemption. And the whole process of redeeming property was to teach the concept of redemption. What will the Messiah do when he proclaims the acceptable year of the Lord? He will redeem all mankind with his blood. Well, if you understand the whole process of redeeming the land between the years of Jubilee, you'll understand what it means for the Messiah to redeem the people from their bondage and sin. It wasn't just very detailed, and it might have been a little bit boring going through all those details, but it wasn't just the process of selling land and redeeming it that God intended for the people to follow. It was the concept he was building in their thinking, the concept of redemption. What does it mean to redeem something? And then what does it mean to be totally free? I believe it's also possible that the sounding of the trumpet, at least for us, that begins the year of Jubilee can be a picture of the rapture. For what happens to mark the beginning of the rapture? The sounding of the trumpet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." And won't we be liberated from a lot of things when that happens? Here's the sad thing. There is no biblical record of the year of Jubilee ever being observed. So we really don't know how much of the redemption process they observed. What we do know from Scripture is that 70 times over 490 years, the people failed to observe the sabbatical year. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21. 2 Chronicles 36, 21. "To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Why did Israel go into captivity to Babylon for 70 years? It's because 70 times the people failed to give the land rest. Well, if they didn't observe the sabbatical year, they're certainly not going to observe the year of Jubilee. 50 years is a long time, but it was intended to give the people something to look forward to. It was supposed to be a time of great relief. Everything is reset as it was on day one when they entered the land. Everybody's possession goes back to them. All debts are canceled. Everyone is liberated from their debts. Well, the rapture is what we have to look forward to. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior." Titus chapter 2, verse 13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." I have been saved for more than 64 years. And very early on in my life, I knew about the rapture. In fact, as a teenager, I could give you the whole chronology of the future events. I was fascinated by it, studied it even myself as a teenager. So I've been waiting for almost 60 years since I learned about the rapture. It's a long time. It still hasn't happened. But I haven't given up hope. And I'm still waiting. Waiting is such an important part of faith. It's one of the things that God was trying to teach the people of Israel. There's value in waiting. Along with the fact that he was teaching them the concept of redemption. And I hope you understand that concept, because it's necessary in order to appreciate what Jesus did for us. Scripture says we're bought with a price. He paid his blood to redeem us from our indebtedness because of sin. Praise God that we had someone who was willing to pay our redemption price. And one of these days, he's coming. Let us wait with patience for the hope that is ours in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the lessons of the year of Jubilee. We're saddened that the Israelites didn't get it, but I pray that we will. Give us tender hearts that have the ability to wait. Oh, we long to see you. We long to bow before our Savior. We long to be with others who've gone before us. But you would rather wait a little while longer so that more people can join us. That's what you said in your word. So for the sake of those who have not yet been saved, that might yet still be saved, give us the ability to wait. Till Jesus comes. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.